We thank you for everything that you're doing. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Jesus Christ. Thank you for your scripture. Thank you for everything. We give you all the glory to you. You are the one leading us. You are the one controlling everything in our life, in this church. And we ask you, Father God, to please be you speaking to the church, not me. I want you to please remove all my flesh, mentality, or earthly stuff, and please be you speaking to the church. Holy Spirit, support us over here today. Touch us. Touch our hearts, our mind, and transform us according to the will of our Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And amen. Okay, so we have been talking about fear, little faith, or little strength in the last 2 weeks. And it's been a great blessing for me. And I hope also the same thing for you guys. We're going to continue talking about that topic, given all the uncertainty that is happening out here right now in the earth. And all the things that is happening and changing in our lives. So this week, I can say I learned a lot from experiences in life. I can say maybe it's one of the toughest at work, you know, but it's great because we have to take it from the point of view of that we are growing, that we're learning, that we are getting more capacity or capabilities in our hearts and mind to grow in Him. Because like I always say, if we don't go through those situations, how we can learn, how we can grow if we don't go through those situations? Anyway, sometimes they are more painful than other ones, but we grow, which is really the important thing in the whole Christianity, and growing with Him and growing with love and facing challenges so that way we can continue being more in relationship with our Father God. So touching a little bit the topic from last week, we talk about Genesis 2:25 when we were seeing how God opened that point of view that Adam and Eve, both of them, were naked, according to Scripture, in 2:25. And they felt no shame. And the point of view that we were sharing on last week, it was that because they cannot see, they were blind, that they were naked. And the point of view that God is showing us during this whole topic about fear, it is that at the point when they were not seeing that they were naked, they grabbed from the tree of knowledge and evil. Learn about the good and evil. And because of that, according to Scripture, in 3:25, if I'm not wrong, 3:6-11, it says then their eyes were open, and now they can see they're naked. And now they feel shame. And now they are afraid. Fear. But what happened if our eyes are not open? What happened if I never grab from that tree, from the knowledge of good and evil? Then I will be blind to those things, and then I will be continuing relationship with my Father God. If that makes sense, according to Scripture. And we can go over there. We can go so that way it's not me talking. 3:6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. If we can go, for example, starting from number 7, then the eyes of both of them were open. This is the Scripture talking to you guys right now and to my life. Now their eyes are open and they realize they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Their eyes were open. Why? Because they break that commandment. They grab from whatever God told them, don't do it. Just do these two things. Prepare the land or maintain the land, the garden. Just take care of it. Work on it. And do not eat from that tree. That's it. Simple. And if you do those things, you're blind. Your eyes were not going to be open. You're just going to be in relationship with your Father God, according to Scripture, which is the main intent. So now that they are noticing or see that they're naked, shame is coming. And when I learn more about the definition of naked, it means disgrace. It means I'm unworthy. It means I don't deserve this. It means I don't have the favor of God in my life. That's the original meaning in Hebrew for naked, shame. Now I can see the shame. The shame was there all the time. It was all, according to Scripture, before the fall, it was there. It just, the difference over here is the eyes were open. That's it. And they noticed that. And now based from that premise, I want to share with you guys today some other story in the Bible that we know that I hope is also bringing more blessing about the fear. To remove that fear, to overcome the fear that we have in our life. And like we have been talking, your fear is not my same fear. It's totally different. I have my fears. You have yours. But we need to overcome them. We need to continue learning more from the Scripture so that way we can overcome the fear. And that's the topic of today. Overcome fear. So today, learning more about the distinction or difference between grace and disgrace, because if I want to make sure that my eyes are not open so I don't see the naked or nakedness, I don't see that I'm shamed, then fear will not come to my life, then I have to go to the beginning. I have to go back and say, what I need to do so that way I can continue being blind to those things, so that way I can be in relationship with my Father God. What I need to do, how I overcome that. Because I want to be living my life without fear. I don't want fear in my life. I want it out of my life. And we can learn more about this with Jesus Christ when he was over here. And that's the perfect teacher that we have right now. But going through the Scripture and going through the story of one of the men, the star, the whole story in the Bible, in the Old Testament, we can go to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 2, we will learn more about Jacob. As you guys know, the story about Jacob, we can see like three different stages from Jacob. We see Jacob, you know the name of Jacob, what is the meaning? Supplanter. Someone that is grabbing it from the heel when he was grabbing the heel of his brother when they were giving birth. And then that's what the name of Jacob, it means supplanter, manipulator. And he had that name on him and that representation on his life, and he continued being affected by that name. And he get the blessing from his father through manipulation, through being a supplanter, not because it was the original Hebrew in that moment culture, when he's supposed to be Esau, his brother. He's supposed to get the blessing because he was the firstborn, not the second, Jacob. Anyway, he got the blessing through the manipulation, and now we have his brother Esau getting frustrated, mad, and he say, I'm going to kill this guy. I'm going to kill my brother. Because he stole my blessing. And now he have to flee, Jacob. He flee from his family. He go to another town, and then he goes to his uncle, his name Laban. And then over there he spent years, around 20 years, building his new life over there, new family, growing in his animals and cattle and everything, so that way he become wealthy. But also in that process, he learned a lot from God. He have a revelation with God, the ladder that is going, angels going up and down. He saw God, different experiences. So he's in that process of being transformed. And now we get to this point. 32. I'm sorry, we have to read it so that way we can understand this more. 32:1. Jacob also went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, this is the camp of God. So he named that place Mahanaim. Jacob sent messenger ahead of him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He instructed them, this is what you are to say to my lord Esau. Your servant Jacob says, I have been staying with Laban and have remained there till now. I have cattle, donkeys, sheep, goats, male and female servants. Now I am sending this message to my Lord that I may find favor in your eyes. See what he's looking here. Just put it in his place and or in his shoes. 20 years. My brother, last time that I saw him, he told me, I'm going to kill you because you stole my blessing. 20 years. And now he's going to be in face to face with his brother again. And the way that he wants to get to his brother, he say, let me just tell him where I'm at right now. What I have. I have this. I have that. You know, I'm a powerful man right now. I have my stuff. I'm wealthy. To get to the point of reputation so that way he can try to see if he can get his favor. Remember, grace and disgrace. He's feeling disgraceful right now. Manipulation, the way that he get his blessing, he went through this process, he started getting experiences with God, and he still feel unworthy. He's just trying to get the favor of someone. And that's what you and I maybe sometimes go through. We try to get our favor from someone. At work, home, family. Because sometimes we feel unworthy. We don't feel like we want to be here. Or that we're supposed to be here. Or that we deserve this life. Anything related to that. And you start looking things on the earth to try to gain that favor back to you, to your heart, and also to other people. So that way you can get reputation and say, okay, I'm some places. Can you see that? I'm just trying to get your favor. That's it. But when you are getting to that point, it's because you are afraid. 32:6, when the messengers returned to Jacob, they say, we went to your brother Esau, and now he's coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him. But wait a second. What? I just told him that I want the favor, telling him all the things that I have so that way I can gain the favor, and he's coming with 400 men. This guy is going to kill me. That's the first thought. I don't get the favor. That's not the response that I'm getting from my brother. In great fear and distress, there you go, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and herds and camels as well. He thought, if Esau comes and attacks one group, the group that is left may escape. He's preparing. He's getting ready. And that's why you and I go through assumptions, uncertainties. I'm trying to get the favor. I'm trying to tell my brother, this is where I'm at right now. And the response that I'm receiving is that he's coming with 400 men to see me. This guy is going to kill me. He's going to kill everyone. He's not getting the response that he wants. And our minds start going through different directions, assumptions. Then Jacob prayed, oh God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, you who say to me, go back to your country and your relatives and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two camps. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me. and also the mothers and with those, their children. But you have said, I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. He's proclaiming the promise from God in his life. He's already experiencing things from God. But this guy is afraid. He's scared, really scared. He's really scared. Anyway, I saw God. God talked to me, all the things. I feel disgraceful right now. I want the favor of my brother. So let me start doing things over here so that way I can try to gain that back. He spent the night. And from what he had with him, he selected a gift for his brother Esau. And then he prepared all the cattle and all the animals for giving that gift to his brother. Then 17, he instructed the one in the lead, when my brother Esau meets you and asks, who do you belong to? And where are you going, and who owns all these animals in front of you? Then you ought to say, they belong to your servant Jacob. In other words, your brother. Then they are a gift sent to my lord Esau, and he is coming behind us. Second time, he's trying, getting the favor. Take a look at 19. He also instructed the second, the third, and all the others who follow the herds, you are to say the same thing to Esau when you meet him. And be sure. Come on, this guy is really scared. Be sure to say. Be sure to say your servant Jacob is coming behind us. For he thought, I will pacify him with this gift I am sending on ahead. Later, when I see him, perhaps he will receive me. Fear. Still over there. So Jacob's gift went on ahead of him, but he himself spent the night in the camp. How fear got in him? We went already to Genesis and we look into that. That's the only way that fear gets into your heart and my heart. Because I'm grabbing the knowledge of the good and evil. And that's opening my eyes. And now I can see that I'm naked. And that's bringing shame, disgrace, and in other words, fear. Because that's what Adam mentioned to God when God, hey, where are you at? I hide it because I see that I'm naked and I'm shame. I'm afraid that you can see me like this. Who told you that you are naked? Because my eyes were open. Because I break what he told me. The same thing was happening to Jacob. He was afraid. You guys know this story. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. First point that I want to share with you guys. Alone. Sometimes, I don't know you, but I'm going to talk about me, and hopefully that bless you. Sometimes I like to be alone. What's that? With Jaili, me time. I learned that from Jaili, my daughter. I want me time. Be alone. Because being alone is giving you that moment between you and God, between you and the Holy Spirit between you and yourself and talking about you. We can see in the Bible, Jesus Christ, most of the time when he was going and pray, he was going alone. He sent the disciples, or in Gethsemane, he'd say, "You three stay here. I will go and pray alone." Because in the moment when you are alone, you're just having that moment, that relationship with God. That moment face to face with him. And sometimes we need that. We need to just go and step outside of everything. Step outside of the world and the whole earthly things, and then let's just be alone with God. We need that. And that's what Jacob experienced over here. He say over here, he was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched. As he wrestled with the man, the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Chris this morning was talking, or earlier was talking about that. Are you asking God for the blessing? Because every day that we are facing these things, this guy is afraid. You and I, we are facing fear every single day. Every day. Because we don't know, and we start thinking about all this stuff. But if our eyes are fixed with him, the story is going to change. Because then fear will be fleeting out of your life. It will flee. And Jacob, this moment, he's fighting with this man and telling the man, "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." His fear, this fear, afraid over here, manifesting in his life. And now that he's alone with this man, he's fighting, and he say, "What is your name? What is your name? What name are you calling yourself today? Are you just calling yourself John, Chris, Becca, Sue, Susan, Barb? That's your name? That just may be a name over here on the earth. But what is really your name? How are you calling yourself?" Because depending how you're calling yourself, it is what is representing you. "My name is Jacob, the supplanter. I am the one that I grab the heel of other people. I am a manipulator." That's what he answered over there. And that's what's bringing fear on his heart. Then the man say, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. Because you have a struggle with God and with humans and have overcome." Hallelujah to that. So now the angel is telling him, "I'm going to change your name." Now changing your name is going to change the representation of who you are. Because you are wrestling with God and with man, and you are overcoming that. In other words, he was facing his fear in that moment. He was facing the afraid that he have against the brother, against what happened 20 years ago. And this angel, The Bible says man, but when we go to Hosea 12:3-6, really quick. It says, in the womb, he grabs his brother's heel. As a man, he struggled with God. He struggled with the angel and overcame him. He wept and begged for his favor. He found him at Bethel, and talked with him there. The Lord God Almighty, the Lord is his name. Again, 4, he struggled with the angel and overcame him. He wept and begged for his favor. He's looking the favor. He's looking that place, that position, that name. That's what he's looking. He was looking on earthly stuff. Let me send the cattle. Let me send all the things. When you talk to him, make sure that you tell him it's me, it's Jacob, his brother, that he's sending all this stuff for him. Scared, afraid. And he's making sure with early stuff, but nothing was happening. He's not receiving the favor. He's not receiving the answer that he wants to receive at that moment. Going back to the story, Genesis 32. Then the angel that he's facing is telling him, your name will not longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have a struggle with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob says, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. I don't want to tell you my name. I'm not going to tell you my name. Because you need to be worried about your name. You need to be focused in changing your name. Not my name. If that angel, I don't know, we cannot say anything about that moment in the Bible. Otherwise, we will be out of the context. But if that man says another name, Michelangelo, Gabriel, name of the other angels, who knows what happened? Maybe he will be worshiping those angels. How many experiences we have out there about epiphanies with God, and people start worshiping angels or saying things. We have to be careful with that. In the moment that this guy had that experience, Jacob, with the angel told him, your name is changed. Now that you understanding who you are in God, your position and place with God, the representation, the who you are on the earth with God, everything changed now. Fear is leaving out of your heart and mind and life. And now, Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, of this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. Stop eating tenderloins and all that stuff, okay? I'm kidding. Jacob meets Esau. This is chapter 33. Don't worry, I'm just going to verse 10 or 11. Jacob looked up, and there was Esau. Now he changed his name. Whew! I'm ready. Let's do it. I'm not the supplanter anymore. I changed my representation. Coming with his 400 men, so he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two female servants. He put the female servants and their children in front, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph in the rear. He himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. Wait a second. The intention of this guy was not killing him, right? According to that. He just ran and kissed him. Question. Maybe you take it home and study and ask that question yourself with God. Without the changing or not changing the name, do you think it will happen the same thing? Remember, let me send this, let me prepare this gift, let me make sure that he knows it's me. I'm scared. 20 years without seeing my brother. Last time he said he's going to kill me. Uncertainties and fears. He's not responding. He's going to meet me with 400 men. This guy's going to kill me. Assumptions, all those things going on in your mind. I don't know, maybe Esau, he was just going to see him and the same thing. He might be going to run and just kiss him. And this is the revelation, I think so. Because the problem is not the brother. It is you. The problem, it was not Esau. I think Esau, it was ready to receive his brother and kiss him, to forgive him. It was you that you need to change your name. It was you need to change the representation of who you are over here on the earth. That it doesn't matter what happened, that does not define you. You are a new person. You are a new with God, with Jesus Christ. Take it. It's yours. Nobody else. Don't let anyone take that out of you. You are a son of God. Hallelujah. Alone, understanding grace, understanding that God is providing us the grace of Jesus Christ in our life, understanding the favor. There's a story about a lady, in English I think it's cartographer, people that learn about geography things and everything like that. And this lady, she was more involved in data, satellites, computers. But then you have the other guy that is also a cartographer, but then he was more in line on things like on the land, like going physically and do the actual physical job. And then this guy retired. And now they have to pass the roles and responsibility to this lady. And the lady was scared, afraid. Uncertainties happened to her heart and mind because I don't know how to do these things. I'm just in a desk, in a computer, and I know what is the satellite works and the data works, but not going over there. And then the pilot or the mariner of the boat, when they have to go with her to this physical place, that moment she was all scared, afraid, because she needs to start doing this thing that she's not involved to or haven't done it before. And what happened is that when she get the map of this person that retired, she just look at it and understand it right away. Oh yeah, this is the trench, this is the location. And say, okay, I know what I need to do. And then a storm got in that moment. And she was not afraid because she knows what she needs to do from the satellite data computer experience that she has. I know where to go. It doesn't matter that this storm is going. Just go turn here. Go here. We're going to get over there. And that's what we are going through. The uncertainty that it makes you feel in me also that we are not favored by God, that we don't receive the favor of God when you have it already through Jesus Christ. And I want to share with you guys Psalm 30:4-7. Psalm 34:7, it says, "Seeing the praises of the Lord, you, his faithful people, praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night." That's fine. We're going to have those moments. But rejoice. Rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I say, "I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favor me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed." But why he's hidden his face? Because we are getting our own things. We are grabbing from where we are not supposed to grab. The other one that I want to share with you guys is Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. It says, "This is what the Lord says, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. These are the ones I look on with favor." Who? Humble, contrite in spirit, and who tremble at my word. Are you humble? Are you contrite in spirit? Are we tremble with his word? When you're receiving the word of God, the Holy Spirit touching your heart right now, burning right now. This is the one that he's looking. The one they're looking with favor. 1 Peter 5, 5:7 says, "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to your elders. All of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." Going back to Genesis 33. "But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arm around his neck and kissed him. And they wept. Then Esau looked up and saw the woman and children. 'Who are these with you?' he asked. Jacob answered, 'They are the children God has graciously given your servant.' Then the female servants and their children approached and bowed them. Next, Leah and her children came and bowed down. Last of all came Joseph and Rachel, and they too bowed down. Esau asked, 'What's the meaning of all these flocks and herds I met?'" See the question that he's asking. What is the meaning of all this? "I was already running to you to kiss you and forgive you. Well, why you send this stuff?" Because the issue, it was Jacob. Jacob need to fix his heart, change his name, receiving that revelation from God. "To find favor in your eyes, my Lord," he say. But Esau say, "I already have plenty." You can send anything that you want physically on the earth. Nothing. I just want the restoration between you and me. Praise God. "I have plenty, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." "No, please," say Jacob. "If I have found favor in your eyes, accept this gift from me. For to see your face," I'm going to leave you with this revelation. Hallelujah. "For to see your face is like seeing the face of God. Now that you have received me favorably. Please accept the present that was brought to you. For God has been gracious to me, and I have all I need. And because Jacob insisted, Esau accepted it. He saw God face through his brother in that moment. Remember, when he was facing that man, according to Scripture, I saw God face to face, and he spared me my life. And he saw the same thing through Esau. And say, I'm free. He spared my life. I'm free from all these. He delivered me from the fear. According to Scripture, 32:30, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared, free. The same thing he was experiencing with his brother Esau. You want to experience that? Do the same thing to your brother and sister. Fear will flee. It will be out of your life. Grace alone, favor, and the last one that I want to share is love and justice. Love and justice. Because Hosea when he was confirming that moment with Jacob, he was showing that he was begging and looking for that favor. And that favor, you and I, we have it already. Isaiah 41:8-10, it says, but you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you, descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners, I call you. I say you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's it. And that's the love and justice from God to you and to my life. And that's how we receive the favor and understand where we at. That's how we know that God is going to continue blessing us and removing all the fears. Paul, when he was writing 2 Corinthians, he says over there, my grace is sufficient. And he was writing this in a moment when he was in prison. And you and I, like Jacob, sometimes we are kind of like cuff in chains with fear. But when we are facing God face to face, don't let it go until he bless you. Which he already blessed you through Jesus Christ. He's over there. It's just, don't quit. Don't feel rejected. He already accepts you. God is already in your side. It's you and me that we need to just decide. It's nothing else. It's not the environment. The environment, it can be a big storm. It can be anything. People, maybe, deceiving or whatever. It's you. It's me. That we are deciding or making the last call or last decision in our life. If we're going to give that power to the other person, to the environment, or not. I was watching something yesterday, and I saw a phrase over there that it got into my heart. I think it's from a book, and it says that, let me see, I have it here, sorry. I want to make sure that I'm not saying anything different. It says, beware, for I am fearless. and therefore powerful. Have to take that with the right way. But if you don't have fear, you're powerful. But if you have fear control your life. And it will be determining everything that you're doing. So today I just want to make sure that I continue blessing our hearts and life, removing all the fear and understanding that you are living through Jesus Christ with His grace. You don't feel disgraceful with Jesus Christ? No, never. He defeats everything. Please, church, don't feel like that. God is already here with us in our life. He already sent Jesus Christ to teach us and to offer us salvation, redemption. And that's why we just need to continue believing in Him and trusting that He has all the control in our life. So please bring Him to your heart. Bring Him to your life. And allow Him to continue leading everything that you're doing. Hallelujah. We worship You. We praise You, Father. Thank You for Your blessing. Thank You for Your love. Thank You. Thank You for today. Thank You for Your word. And I want to specify this prayer to fear and saying, fear, get out of our hearts. Get out of our life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ defeat everything. We declare that in the name of Jesus, the fear is not controlling us anymore. Holy Spirit, fill us. Govern our hearts and our mind, and be You leading, be You governing our hearts and mind and our life, every step that we're doing. In the name of Jesus Christ, we love You, Father God. Thank You for the blessing. Thank You for the changing names that is bringing favor to our hearts, to understanding that the grace that we have with You through Jesus Christ is bringing salvation to us. We love You and we worship You. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.